You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
So we'll train people how to train the kids at their orphanage how to cook. So we went back after COVID, and we had 22 representatives from 16 different orphanages in Africa and taught them how to teach the class. So we went through the same thing, but we taught them kind of like, this is the teacher's version of it. This is what the students get. But
this is a great idea.
Yeah. And thank
this
you.
This is great.
Yeah. But it doesn't end there, because after we left there, we went back after COVID, and we taught, I think, the representatives from different orphanages that were there at the time had the ability every year to teach 660-some kids the course, how to cook. So that's just one attempt at teaching a few trainers to go to their individual orphanages and continue training the same class. And again, you're not going to, you know, be working in the kitchen of the Ritz, okay? But you can walk into pretty much any restaurant that you find, walk up and say, hey, I'm young, I've got this certificate, I need a job. And if they find out, if any restaurant owner finds out that you know anything about hygiene and sanitation and knife skills, you got a job, Jack.
Yeah, it's kind of like being a nurse. There's always openings for nurses.
Always openings, yeah.
You know, I interviewed Mike Tyson a few years ago, and Mike Tyson was a kid on the street who all he knew was to fight. The only reason he learned how to fight was because it was either be killed or kill the other guy.
Right.
I don't know that he killed anybody, but I know he had to protect himself. Otherwise, you get slammed. And then he ran into one man, Cus, you know, who believed in him.
D'Amato.
And said,
D'Amato.
And said, you could be a world-class boxer. And Mike was saying how he just kept saying nice things and saying nice things. And finally he got it. Oh, the guy was building him up. And, personally, my dad was killed day from my fifth birthday. And I remember the first compliment I ever got was not from a teacher, believe it or not, it was when they were just starting out with computers. I think I was in ninth grade or something like that. And it was the first time, maybe it was eighth grade. The first time I ever got a compliment was from a computer. Said, nice try. And then my name. Keep trying again. Mm-hmm. But I never had anybody that was kind to me or nice to me like that. And here I was already, you know, what, approaching, how old are you when you're then, 13 or 14?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's pretty sad, you know. And I started crying when you were telling about, tell that little girl, hey, when you get that certificate, you come to my restaurant, you got a job. Yep. Wow, that's a life changer. Oh, my word, it's beautiful.
So it continues if you care to hear more.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We came back after that and decided that was going to be our last long trip. I mean, from our front door to the orphanage's kitchen, probably like 40-some hours, okay? Going over, you're excited, you're well-rested, you know what's in front of you, and you get over there and you kind of hit the streets running. On the way back, you've been working, you know, in Africa, without a lot of amenities, and come back to the States tired, dragging it, and now putting up with 42 some hours until you get back into your own bed. It just wore me and my wife out. I mean, just totally. It's like, we can't do this anymore. So God picked up the gauntlet, and I think it was a week or two later, we were at Sunday service, and there was a guest missionary preaching, a fellow by the name of David Huggart and his wife Cheryl. And he walked up to me, never met the man, and he said, somebody's telling me about this loaves and fishes, whatever. What is that? And I explained to him. And he's got his head to one side looking at me like you can hear the wheels, okay? And he said, so could you, like, teach that course in the Philippines? And I went, well, like 70-80% of the course is hygiene, sanitation, knife skills, you know, general things that you could teach anybody anywhere and it would be effective. But if I pluck out like the module of Kenyan recipes and insert adobo, pancit, you know, a lot of the Filipino foods, I don't see why not. So he said, I got somebody I want you to talk to. So we did a Zoom meeting, and somewhere around the end of this month, the Loaves and Fishes Global Cooking Course will be taking place all in the Philippines. So that's another one.
Wow, that's great. I'd like to see these books myself. Being a foodie, that's of great interest to me. And what a great way to show love. I know for you, definitely for me, I know my language of food is love. I can tell you when I was dating a girl named Florine at 16, and on Saturdays we'd go and have a turkey sandwich with a chocolate milk. And that was, you know, that was nearly 70 years ago. Or that her grandmother was a little old Italian lady. And she made the most delicate. She lived way upstairs in the house, in the, I guess you'd call it a garret apartment, where you can actually see the roof, you know, on the inside. And she made these raviolis where it was so delicate. They were little tiny ones, and they were so delicate and delicious. I'm a 16-year-old kid. She was 19. I was 16. To this day, I remember those ravioli. Mm-hmm. And so for me and certain people like you, you're Italian most likely, food is love, you know.
That's it.
It's a great way to communicate. It amazes me because it's when you're a cook or a chef or whatever, a sous chef, that's working for a living. There's got to be passion there, because somebody, let's say I'm going to go out tonight for dinner. Right now, at early this morning from 8:30 on, somebody was somewhere slicing and dicing in some professional kitchen. And you're going to get to eat what they're doing. And somebody's going to work on it all day long. Yeah. It just amazes me the effort that people like you are willing to put into. And so this is a great ministry. I've never heard of anybody.
That's the thing. I'm going to catch you on one word. It's not effort. It's not effort. When you're passionate about something and you know you're in God's will, sorry, it's easy peasy. Okay. And I was going to say something, but it slipped away. But God has blessed us so much. He has blessed us so much, and based on a lot of our things about doing podcasts like this Psalm Spinner that I was telling you about. I'm talking to Mike about maybe having my guy get together with your guy and set something up, because I'd love to share some of these thoughts, these prayers. Okay, that's how you proliferate these things. That's, you know, going back to proliferation. The greatest proliferator, you know, in history was Jesus. You know, look what he did with loaves and fishes. Right? How many people are there? But you'll notice, okay, that, you know, the disciples are telling Jesus, like, send these people away. We're hungry. I mean, you know, what's their prime motivation? Their bellies. Okay? Send these people away. We're hungry. Okay? Said, like, no, feed these people. You know, we don't have that kind of money. You know, I mean, we're working, what's the legal term? Pro forma, you know, when lawyers don't get paid. whatever that's called. Anyway. Pro bono.
Peter was not out there fishing. He was hanging out with Jesus.
Right. So his way of earning things is like out the window, okay? But we don't have that kind of money. And Jesus said, bring me what you got, okay? Loaves and fishes. First thing Jesus did, he looked up to his Father. He looked up to heaven. He said, Lord, you know what's going on here. Dad, okay, I need to feed these people. Okay, start passing them out. They had more than enough, okay? When you ask the Father, when we talk to Jesus, okay, it's like he's got our backs. He's closer than a brother, right? So anyway, and that's, you know, like a segue back into loaves and fishes, but that's what we wanted to proliferate.
I want to promote this now. If Noah, our producer, is listening, maybe you could type that up and slip that under or above Don's name, because it's loavesandfishes.com.
Nope, global, one word. Loavesandfishesglobal.com.
Loavesandfishesglobal.com.
Correct.
Okay, because this, you know, I mean, are these books for sale to people like me? Because I'd like to buy a copy of each one.
No, I'll bring you one. That's one of those things we don't charge for the book, okay? When we send off a kit, typically it's got the teacher's guide, and it's only about 70, 80 pages, so it's not, you know, the joy of cooking or anything. And then it's got 5 or 6 copies of the student's guide with, you know, places for quiz answers. And then it's got a pack of like graduation certificates. It's got a few chef's hats, a couple of wooden spoons in it. But primarily it's like our cost, our expenses have been since we spent it, we've been repaid, you know, 20 times over. So we're not trying to recoup anything. And
no.
I would never want, and my wife says, you know, what happens if somebody takes it and makes copies of it and gives it to other people? It's like, okay, I don't care, you know, because that means other people are learning how to cook too. Is that a bad thing? You know, so we are an LLC, but it's not a 501c3 or nonprofit. So if somebody wanted to give money, okay, I would put them in contact with somebody that would send it directly to an orphanage. One of the reasons why we got involved with Seeds Ministry in Kitale, Kenya, was because if you donated a dollar, guess how much the kid got? A dollar. Amazing.
Really?
Because everything else has been self-sufficient. They've been shooting since late 90s, I think, Richard and Helen. Makani is his last name, M-A-K-A-N-I, Richard and Helen Makani. Since they started, it was like 97 or something. And they would go out in their vehicles, and things were so bad that mothers would deliver a baby.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM. Would people drive a car 100,000 miles with no oil change? Of course not. However, that is what we do to our bodies. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America have a cutting-edge tool to clean blood. It's called Therapeutic Plasma Exchange. Wouldn't everyone like to clean out molds, toxins, herbicides, pesticides, forever chemicals, heavy metals, and even microplastics? Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America can do that. We are in network with most insurances. Our phone number is 772-298-4477.